In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Brothers and sisters, last Sunday we heard the parable of the vineyard, and how the vineyard is an image of the church, and how the church is an image of the kingdom of God. Today we heard another parable, this one about the wedding feast. And the wedding feast is an image of the church, which is an image of the kingdom of God. The Lord taught the mysteries of the kingdom that were to be accessible and attainable in the church. The mysteries of the kingdom of God have been open to us, who are members of the Lord's church. I want to begin today's sermon with something that I saw online. And it was something of a sad commentary on today's society. It talked about how in our society we've lost respect. We don't have respect for one another. We don't have respect for offices or institutions. Those things that formerly were considered to be sacred. We've lost respect for a great many things. One person was lamenting on how when they were raised, things were different. They were raised that when they would come to a door, they would knock on it before opening it. They would say hello to people when they entered a room. They would, of course, say please and thank you. They would give up a seat for somebody who was their elder. They would hold the door for somebody who was coming in behind them. They would salute the flag. They would thank a serviceman or a police officer. They'd take off their hat whenever they went into a building, especially a church. All of these simple things that show respect are being lost. They're not being practiced as much anymore. And they're considered many times old-fashioned. That's how things used to be, but times are changing. Even when we think about church, there was a certain standard of respect that our fathers and all the forefathers had. They would go to church on Sundays and holy days. They would dress in their quote-unquote church clothes. They would be on time. And they would stay to the end. They knew when to stand, when to sit, when it was okay to light candles and when it wasn't. How to enter the church and venerate the icons. How to find their spot and quietly pray. How to greet people when they came in with a quiet smile and then talk to them after the service. How to do all of these things that show respect for God when we enter into His house. Many of these things are being lost, even by us Orthodox. And this loss of respect or lack of respect we actually see in these very parables that we've been talking about. It was just last Sunday we heard about the tenants of the vineyard, those who are entrusted with the stewardship of the vineyard. The owner sent his servants to get the fruits of the vineyard, right? They beat them up, they kicked them out. And then what did he do? The owner. He did something very strange. He sent his only son. Why? Didn't they just beat up all these other servants? Why would he send his son? And he said in the parable, because they will respect my son. They will have respect. That's such a fundamental human virtue, to have respect. And what did they do? Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. They showed a lack of respect. In today's parable, a marriage feast for the son. He sent out the invitations. Everyone, come. Everything's ready. Come. It's for my son. He's being married. And what did they do? They made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Again, a lack of respect. In both parables that teach us about the kingdom, and teach us about the church, our way to that kingdom. Those who didn't make it didn't have respect. Those who did had respect. want to look at three practical tests to see where we are in our relationship with the Lord, if we have this respect that our forefathers had in the church. The first test is going to be something of a quiz, and I'm going to ask questions and I'm going to look for answers. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but I'm looking for a collective answer to these questions. And we're going to start with some easy stuff. We're talking about the marriage feast, a great day of festivity. Do we know when the church's days of festivity are? Do we know when the 12 great feasts are? Some do, some don't, right? How about our civil feasts? Do we know the civil holidays? We'll start with something easy. What comes up on the first Monday of September? Labor Day, right? We just had Labor Day. It was a holiday weekend. Do we know that we're actually in a holy day weekend? What? A holy day weekend? What's September 8th? That was Friday. Nativity of the Mother of God. This is a holy day weekend. We're wearing blue for the Mother of God. How about in November, the fourth Thursday? What's that?
Thanksgiving.
January 1st. New Year. January 15th. A little harder now. Martin Luther King Day. We're doing pretty well. Let's go over now to the church side. September 14th. Exaltation of the Cross. Good. November 21st. Entrance of the Mother of God. Very good. Let's go a little bit harder. Let's go a little bit harder. January 6th. Theophany. How about this question? On what day does Ascension Thursday fall? What day of the week? That was a joke in seminary. It asked us that question. It's on a Thursday, yes. Okay, how about this? What Sundays of the month are considered the Lord's Day?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday, right? Not every Sunday is the Lord's Day. There are no exceptions throughout the whole year. Every Sunday is the Lord's Day. We have to know when the feasts are. And the Lord tells us. There are no mystery. Everyone has a calendar. They're all marked on the calendar. And they don't change much. If they're on the fixed or the movable cycle, we know the formula. We know when the days are going to be. In the back of the church, on your way out, you can take your smartphone, snap a photo of the 12 great feasts. They're listed there. There's even an arrow that points to the next one that's coming up. There's an arrow pointing to September 14th. How far off is that? This week. Come to the feast. That's the first test, our test of our knowledge. The second test is a test of our desire. And this is very important. I have three young children and they're learning to play different games. One of the games that they love to play is the game of war. Everybody knows that in cards. Right, you deal out the cards, everybody has their stack, and then everybody puts down a card, and whoever has the highest card wins, takes all the other cards. It's the same way actually with desire. It's the same way with what we desire. We do what we desire. And the only way to do something better than what we've been doing is to elevate our desire. In other words, the only way to get to heaven is to desire something higher than the earth. And when we go out in our lives, every day we put down a card, and God puts down a card. His card is always the ace. He's got the trump card. He's got what's best. And what cards do we put out? Each and every one of us have our own desires, our own aspirations, our own wants. Well, isn't there a time where we can put out an ace too? Where the Lord invites us to come to the service, and well, we say, no, Lord, I'd like to come, but I have also this other thing that I need to do. And of course, there is. We pray in the litanies for those who are absent for a reason or a cause worthy of a blessing. There are times where we cannot come to the feast because we're doing the Lord's work elsewhere. There are times where we can't. We'll look at that in a moment. That's the third test, that of circumstance. But with the test of desire, we have to really look within and see what it is that we do desire that trumps what the Lord desires for us, what's truly better for us. And why is it important? Why is it important if I'd rather be doing something else than coming to church? Does Father John say so? Because the church nags me about that? No, because our eternal destiny depends upon it. Heaven is loving God and wanting to be in His presence for eternity. Hell is not loving God, loving something more or someone more. That's why it matters. When we come to church and we say, oh, church is so long. Father John preaches so long. The choir sings so slowly. So many people for communion. I got things to do. I got places to be. I got all these kind of things that I got to get to. Well, what is that telling us? That we would rather be somewhere else in the presence of someone else and not. It's telling us where our desire is. This wedding feast, this great banquet, it's not going to be catered by McDonald's. It is not a fast food affair. It's an eternal affair. And we should start to change our preferences, start to change our desires, no longer be concerned for earthly food, but for heavenly food. Now, circumstance. And a lot of times, you know, we think circumstance is the reason why we don't come. We want circumstance to be the reason we don't come. Not desire. We want our desire to be in order, but we just want to say it's circumstance that keeps me from coming. And I'll give you a test where you can find out which it is. Let's think about the things that we do desire, that we like to do. It's football season. How many of you are Raven fans? Anyone a Raven fan? Bill's a Raven fan. Kathy as well. Probably others. Let's say you had tickets to go to the Ravens game. And in fact, no, not just the Ravens game, the Super Bowl. And you were not just in the stadium, but you were on the 50-yard line. Nope, never forget that. You're actually on the sideline, standing next to, nope, you are the head coach. And you're calling all the plays, and they're gonna work out perfectly, and you're gonna be carried off the field. It's gonna be the greatest day of your life. What would keep us from that? What would keep us? Church. That would be the right answer. But what would keep us from that? Would the fact that we had to work on the farm, would that we had to work on our business, or in the parable of St. Luke with the great banquet, would it be that we had to attend to our property, prior oxen, do our daily work? Or even in the parable of the great banquet, a man says, I married a wife. I think, you know, if we had the opportunity to do that at the Super Bowl, we would move our wedding day, right, to be there, right? We would do everything to be there because that's what we want. So all of these circumstances that block us from coming to church, partaking of the Eucharist, that great heavenly banquet, all of these things that are seemingly circumstance-based are really actually more desire-based. There are, of course, things that are circumstance-based. We have the Nativity of the Mother of God. Our parish has been decimated by this cold or bug or whatever is going around. People were not able to make it. Think about what's going on in Florida. There are a lot of people not in church on Sunday. There are a lot of people helping those who are in need, urgent need. And you know what? That's where they should be. And the Lord will not deprive them. Now, these three tests, knowledge, desire, and circumstance, are very important. But the greatest test is the final exam, What's the final exam? When we stand before God and our case comes forward and He reveals to us and to the world who we are. That time when there are no more excuses, no more reasons that we can give. We want to pass that test. We want to enter into the feast. We don't want to be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the way we get there is not love. You hear that? The way we get there is not love. The way we get there is respect. When we start out as youngsters in this life, what do our parents teach us first? Respect. Sometimes parents say, I don't care, and usually this is when they're disciplining us, I don't care if you don't love me, you're going to respect me. Right? You're going to learn to do what's right even when you don't want to. And there will be consequences if you don't want to. Respect. It actually starts out with fear. And that's how it is in our Christian life too. What's the beginning of wisdom? When do we start to figure things out? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The first type of respect that we have for God is fear. Fear that we will be held accountable. Fear that what He's telling us is the absolute reality to which we'll be subject. We start out with fear of God. And that's a holy respect for Him. And then once we start to practice these commandments, we start to learn the ways of our Heavenly Father. But then we start to respect Him because we love Him and we see that He is good. And we also see that He's making us good. And then our respect doubles. It grows exponentially. Because not only is He great and majestic, but He's raised us through the keeping of His commandments, through that holy fear, to participate in His life, to participate in His kingdom, to share that inheritance that in our disrespect we wanted to just seize for ourselves and have it our own way. He's giving it to us. Respect is the ladder that leads from earth to heaven. It's the ladder that leads from fear to love. And it has many rungs. A lot of them are on the church calendar. Brothers and sisters, in the parable today, you know who made it into that feast? The people who respected the invitation. They were the ones who were not initially invited. They were out in the highways, the byways. It even says in the gospel, it wasn't just the good, but who else was it? Were you listening? The bad. That's right. The way we make it into the kingdom is by respect. A respect that is being lost in this world, and I dare say lost in the church. You know who didn't make it into that kingdom? Those who had no respect. Let us be people who reclaim this most important virtue and learn to respect the offices and the institutions of our nation, of our church. Let us be people who respect the image of God in each and every one of us, each other. And let us most importantly respect God Himself, who's not only worthy of it, but who demands it of us. Not for His good, but for our good. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.